far as human people, humans are concerned, well, the same thing happens. It's no different than if you leave this house, that doesn't mean you're dead, you're in some other house. But people in this house no longer know you. See, you're not around to talk and so forth and be seen. Now, reincarnation, Jesus himself said that. He says, I go prepare a place for you that you may also be there. He spoke of the same thing, see? And there's many other statements in the Bible, and not our Bible alone, but in others that means that say the same thing. And in fact, even Jesus, when he was on the Mount Transfiguration, meaning transfiguration really means this. When he's up there meditating, he all sorts of thoughts went through his mind, see? And each time a thought passed through his mind, it would express itself upon his facial expression. See, it molded his face like a sculpture would on clay, mold his face. So disciples were watching him. And when he come down, they told him what he looked like during that time. He was changing all the time in facial expression. So he answered them, and he says, the life of mine is the life of the many. We misinterpret that by saying he died for the many. He said, the life of mine is the life of the many, meaning he went through the many stages to the present day. He went through all those stages. Just like you would say, well, your father is a big businessman. He started from ground up. Now you're going to take his place. But before you can be as successful as he was, you'll have to start from a ground up too, learn all the business all the way up. So you go through all those different stages of expression or learning. Well, that's what Jesus meant at that time. But reincarnation is an absolute fact as far as we know. We can't prove anything probably that way. But how many times have people come up upon another person that they never met before and yet felt they knew him? There's a memory try to come back there, and we sometimes ignore it. Or another time you go someplace on this earth that you've never been there. And all of a sudden you get a feeling that you know something about that place. But you don't seem to connect up with the present life in a way. So you bothers you, but you still ignore it. You say, well, it's maybe my imagination or something. You see? And you ignore it. But those are memories that are trying to come back, just like we say, well, when you was a little babe, you've done something, and you, after you've grown, you forgot it. So all of a sudden, the thought comes to you, a memory revives itself. Oh, no, I couldn't have done that. I was too little to even remember, see? Then your mother maybe remember, and your mother will confirm it. But you yourself couldn't quite accept it, that you did the thing or the thing happened to you at that time. It's those memories that we don't always accept, but if we accept those memories here and there, then they begin to develop. A memory is very important, far more important than we realize, because it's through memory you're going to recognize yourself. No other way will you recognize yourself. For instance, if I die and I'm born on another planet, you come up there, maybe a week later, you too die. Or maybe you come up in a spaceship. You say, I'm looking for Mr. Adamski someplace down here. I know he's down here on this planet. And he says, who the hell is Mr. Adamski? We don't know anything about him. Because the name is no longer that same or nothing. But you knew me for my inner self. You would recognize me immediately, because as soon as we made a contact, he said, that's George. He says, everything is just like I remember him for, see? See? The thing changes around. But it's the memory that you would recognize me by, mostly. And it's that memory that we have neglected, like we neglected telepathy, we neglected memory the same way. And memorizing, developing memory, is the only part of you that would continue, just like a record. Nothing else would continue because your body is left here, your home is left here, where, and all of that, you're not going to be in it again. So the only thing you could go back on is the memory. Very important for memory to be developed.
What When there is some reincarnation between planets, how do you think we can remember about Mars, for example?
Well, that's because we come in here. Now look, when we come into this world, you might have come from Mars or Venus here. But first thing you know, what happens in this world? We got 10,000 years, we say, of civilization. We got 10,000 years of conventions and traditions that the first thing this society is based on. So they throw that on you when you're just a little babe, can't just open your eyes. Then when you grow up, where you take in impressions, then the mom, dad, uncle, aunt, grandmother, great-grandmother, grandfather, not saying anything about the society, begins to impose their ideas on you. So pretty soon, if you did have any memory that you did come back with before you could talk, you're already covered up with all this debris of someone else's, not your own. Then when you grow, some things come to you here and there, and you feel yourself stranger in the world, or you might feel yourself where you had been here before or came from somewhere else, but sometimes you're afraid to talk because the other fellow wouldn't understand you, so you keep that back and you don't give him the opportunity to express. And only time you develop anything when you use it. See? So those little bits of memory comes and we're afraid to talk for fear that we might be called crazy or this or that. So we choke it all up inside and we grow with the masses. And that way we lose it. But
how does it come when you are put in an hypnotic state that you don't remember anything of what you have done in your state?
I don't go for hypnotic state.
No, I just
I don't go for hypnotic stages. You can, since you brought that in, you can school yourself to silence the mind, the senses, and listen to your conscience. It takes a little time, but you can do that. That would mean then that you sort of hypnotize your own mind, yourself, by putting it in a state of silence where it would not be interfering. For instance, I guess some of you girls and boys talk in classrooms sometimes, asked to say your piece or something. You might have it written down and you might not. It shows you how the mind interferes. Well, you start talking on a subject. And pretty soon thoughts are coming, and you say something, and your mind will say, are you sure you're right? If you stop there and question that, you lose the trend of thought. But if you ignore it, don't pay no attention to it, go on talking, at the end of your talk, the mind no longer questions. See, the mind is impatient. No longer questions, because during the process of your talk, you have revealed what the mind wants to interrupt on. See? And you notice there's thoughts come then that you probably never read, or you probably never heard, or ideas come that way in the course of talk. Well, you analyze them then after that, and you will find that they'll fit into life, or you can do something with them. They really fit into the plan, see? You're like a jigsaw puzzle. You get a lot of that. Now, a lot of that comes sometimes from past experience. You're like a child, we say, that never was taught to be a musician. Yet he picks up a violin and start playing better than the best musician you have ever known. You call him a genius. Yet in a family you might not find any musicians at all. Everything we do, we have to learn someplace. And those are memories that cause us to act that way. Report something that we ourselves, as a mentalist, had no faith in or thought couldn't do. Yet we do it. All of that had to be taught somewhere, because man grows and lives by experience. It's those are all experiences, regardless where they come from. You have to have experiences before you can say. And for instance, how could you become conscious of something there is not an existence someplace. You couldn't. Because that which is non-existent is non-existent. You can't think of it. But anything that you become, that becomes a thought in your mind, must be in existence someplace, or you couldn't think about it.
Yes,
you might not know it, but it's there.
Then how could you think about non-existence?
You can't. Because you see, if there was a, that's where the good one comes in, for instance. You can't think of non-existence because there is none.
But when I say non-existence, I think of it.
You think of non-existence, did you say?
Yes. Yeah, as you say non-existence.
Yeah, well, we use a label. We use a label here, that's all. But yet, when we say it, non-existence, the moment we say it is already existence. In other words, let us say it this way. When we say nothing, we couldn't say it if it was not something. That nothing automatically becomes something, or we couldn't say it. It's just like, yeah. You see, our labels, our words, are very confusing sometimes. We can't express ourselves as we sometimes feel. We can't find words to express. But that's where most of us are confused. Because we say nothing. Well, we mean something that is never to be anything. Non-existence.
You can't picture.
That's what we, that's the only way we can explain. That's the only words we got.
You can't visualize, you can't picture
no.
nothing.
Yeah, because. No,
you can say
because,
it, but you can't picture.
Yeah, but
you can't
even say it. Because as soon as you said it, you already said something. See? Now, if you take a man, or take God, I done it, you don't need to be afraid of that because you're searching for knowledge. And you say, well, God is a vast universe. That's big. He rules everything. And all the knowledge that will ever be known by man is already there. Okay. Then we take that God and bring him down, little by little, till we find a little bitty speck, very small, like a point of a pin or a needle. We get him that small. Then finally we get him smaller, so we have to use a microscope to see him. And a good strong one, like the one we got in USA, magnifies 2 million times. See? Well, so it's awfully small. Yet in that small, minute particle lies all the intelligence and all the power that we know moving universes, see? So you get it that small as your mind can go, instill all the power and intelligence for everything you know and yet to learn is there. Then you put it in the bigness of eternity in the same thing. It's really amazing how you can go down mentally where you tear everything to pieces only to find the core or the heart of the vastness and get down so small and still have the vast powers and intelligence. Then you reverse that, go the other way, and you got the same thing. Which proves one thing, that there is no beginning. You can't come to a beginning. And as you cannot come to a beginning, you cannot come to an end. And if there was an end, there's something bigger than the end to support the end. See? You like peeling the onion. Eat a layer supports another layer. There is no such a thing as an impossibility. The impossibilities are only to the point of man's intelligence. But he can go beyond that point of intelligence to another stage of intelligence, and there he'll find something different again, new, and that's the way he grows. And there's no end to it.
But if there is an evolution,
well, you could call it evolution or growth or development, any of those names, yes, you could call it.
But you are then to suppose that there was a point zero, point no.
What was that?
A zero point.
Sorry,
but there is no zero. Even a zero is something. Zero point is something. You couldn't make a zero if it was nothing, absolutely non-existent. As soon as you make a zero, it's already something. So even, and that's why I said, when you go to small particles, so small that you use 200 million power microscope to see it, could be called zero point. And yet it's there.
There. But I want to go back to something that they were speaking of, because I think it's important to them. Reincarnation is not only on other planets, is it?
In other words, if they are 50 billion planets, they can be classed as one, the whole thing can be classed as one university, and the 50 billion planets are the classrooms. You and I will go through every one of them.
But is there also reincarnation on the same planet?
Well, yes. If you don't learn, if you go to school and you don't learn in your grade what you're supposed to learn, to get in the next grade, next year you'll be in the same grade. Sure, the same thing.
If we forget to check what he says, just
don't forget, stay with us, we don't know it.
Yeah, and once we learn how to memorize better, the whole thing will come back. I'm going places for a little bit while you're talking. As I stated, we come into this world, people don't believe in those things. They load us up with a lot of other things that are not as important, because the major part of it is for us to try to remember as much as we can, because as I stated before, memory is the only identity that you'll ever have. There's no other identity. Names don't mean nothing.
And the only link.
And your form will be the same probably, and there'll be resemblance, but still, it's the memory by which you will recognize yourself or recognize another. There's no other way.
You know that you have this before.
I do, yes. I do.
And you know what you were.
That's right.
Where you were before.
That's right.
You do.
I do. I even go so far that I remember where I spoiled a lot of fun for my father and mother. My father mostly, because he was going to marry another girl, an aristocratic family. And on maneuvers, he was a soldier, you know, an officer. He got tangled up with a gal like soldiers do and got her in trouble, and to do the honor, he had to marry her, and I was the guy. So I remember why I spoiled his fun, and he never did like me for that. See? So, memory is the main thing. Now, to give you a little further, show you how what memory does mean. This is going to be strange, I know, but all things at the beginning are strange. Especially when they happen to one person here and one there, and not to all the masses. But all the masses are not always developed enough that it'll happen. But in time it will. For instance, I met my wife in 1917 during a war. And the first time I went out for a date, we got to talking about stars. In the evening, happened to be in the park. And brought the idea of stars. So, she says, next time I'll be born on Venus. So I didn't make much of it. When we got married, through 36 years of living together, every now and then she'd bring that idea up, about once or twice a year. Well, in 54, she passed away. Suddenly, away from home. So, I thought, well, I wonder if Mary got her wish. I considered this a wish. And I've been wondering about it, and then Jack Mahoney, that's the range rider on your TV in America, I don't know if you get these pictures here or not, I know him very well, a star, he was up the house and got to talking about it. He said, George, you shouldn't question that. And your wife said that? Probably she did. She was born right away. So, finally, the man that I met, first contact in 52, he came along and he says, you're doubting. I said, no, I'm not doubting, I'm wondering. He says, your wife was born on planet Venus. When she closed her eyes here, she opened her eyes as a babe on planet Venus simultaneously. Well, I still was a little bit wondering. So he says when she grows up a little bit bigger, I will bring her in on one of the ships when I come to Earth. Okay. Well, then I got to thinking, and I realized that the Christian doctrine tells you this. It says, in twink of an eye, you shall be in paradise with me, he said. Jesus said that to the thief. And also, he says, I go and prepare a place for you that you may also be there, showing that is no time is lost between one form of life, one state of life and another. That is just continues right now. But I says, then Jesus must have told us the truth by making those statements. And he's not the only one, because Hindu philosophy also speaks of it. All right? So I kind of balanced the thing up a little bit. And so forth, I says to myself, the power or intelligence we call life, I never see it stop for any length of time. Everything is always moving. It moves everything else. So why should it stop here? So finally, a year ago, last Christmas, he brought her in. The girl about to stall. See? Brought her in. Well, the facial expression, she's a young girl, but the facial expression hasn't changed very much. Younger, that's about all. And she remembered a number of things right off the way. She recognized me immediately. I could, too. Still, I was a little bit wondering if she wasn't reading my mind. Well, something happened in 17 that I forgot all about. And she read my mind and know that I was wondering about whether she was reading my mind or not. So she mentioned that something that happened in 17, remind me of it, revised the memory. Then I remembered that it happened. She told me a number of things. Now, she was born immediately there. It's like I've been told she was. All right? She's now a girl this size. They grow up quite fast, they mature faster than they do here. She's teaching younger children already, while she, in turn, being taught by higher, you know, older people again. And I want a photograph of her. She says, I wouldn't mind, but she says, I don't like to be interfered mentally. I said, what do you mean? So, well, if you get a photograph of me, and you be looking at me now the way I am now, you'd be thinking of me and thoughts no limitation. When I'm studying very seriously, your thoughts will come in on me and interfere with me. So until I get stronger and better, I won't let you take a photograph. Next time, maybe yes. So I still got hopes that I get a photograph of her. See? But the resemblance are there, and she, only by memory, she knew me, and only by memory she recognized herself, not by name. So now you see again, here's the odd part of it that you got to consider. Now, we say that both of you might have been, say, man and wife in some previous life. 10,000 years ago passed, now you come into the same setup. You could be man and wife now again, see? But in the meantime, during that time, there were other experiences both of you had independent of each other. Now, the same would be with me. Now, you see, I'm 72. See? I'm 72. My wife passed away in 54.
She's 9 now.
Yeah. Now, supposing that I live another 20 years, which I could do, well, then she'll be 29 years of age. Well, I'm just being born on that same planet, maybe. She couldn't marry a baby, could she? Well, but that time would pass. But
she could be your mother.
Yeah, she could. Yeah, she could be my mother. That's correct. Or she could be, or we could grow as acquaintances later on. But in years to come, we might meet again. See, when the time lapses where both of us are born about the same time, or anywhere near within 2-3 years. See, all of that could happen. So you can see all those things that, again, the Christian doctrine tells you something, because Jesus says, no marriage is given unto in heaven. See? because they don't all die at the same time. Naturally, wouldn't be, if they're born simultaneously. But there's your reincarnation, but in each case, it's memory. You remember what you've been, where you left, and who the associates with you. So, it's the memory that I now see must be developed better than we do. Ours, most of our memories are very short. You hear somebody say something, or you witness somebody, and before you know it, an hour later they ask you, oh, I forgot it. I don't know what it was. See, just like that. How short? Well, that's too short a memory to recall anything, especially of one's life. See? So it's a memory. Now, a lot of our children today, young people, that are from, we say, age of 1 to age of 25, are rebirths, most of them are rebirths, from this war that have not finished their lives here, was eliminated because of war before their time. Some of our others from World War Number One. There's quite a number of them. We had a chap that in World War Number One, he was about his age, you know, at that time. His mother brought him to us. And he remembered the trench he got killed in, the territory in Germany in World War Number One, and the hour and the minute. He remembered all of that. And he would talk about it to his mother. Well, finally his mother got wondering very much whether he was imagining those things or what. So went to Washington, D.C. to investigate the records. Sure enough, right to the minute, he didn't miss once, not 1 second. He didn't miss. Everything was correct. His tag number, everything. Well, he's married now. He's got a family. He still talks about it. It's that vivid, see? That distinct, his memory, when he died in the trench and all of that. And the girl he married died by the city being bombed, and that was in Germany. City in Germany was bombed at the time, and she died there. And she, at that time, was but 6 years old. So he married her this time as a wife. And they're very happy they have children. But there's quite a few cases. The unfortunate part that we don't publicize, nobody publicizes those cases. See? There's more strange things happen to individuals or to people than the public knows, because nobody talks about the strange things. They always publicize a prize fight or war or something like that, and murder or anything, but they don't publicize the things that the people themselves experience or remember. And if they do speak of those things, right away say, you mustn't talk that way. People think you're crazy or something like that, see? And they shut up. That's the big trouble in our world today. But people do remember. And again, when you talk about telepathy, that is also telepathic, because you're reading the records of the past, bringing it up to the present, see? Which is still memory, based on memory. There's not one thing happens in this world, even one little swish of a leaf, that's not recorded in the cosmos someplace. Everything is recorded. So you don't never have to really be without a record if you work on memory. And memory is the most important thing, even in school. You boys go to school. Now, you got to study pretty hard on some points. Well, if you study, we say 3 hours today, hard to get it down in your mind, that tomorrow you may be asked to repeat, stand up and repeat before the class. What do you have to do? It's not so much learning what the subject is, but to memorize it. Memory is the hardest thing to develop, seem like. Oh, yes, can be developed. Because you take a good poet that writes poems, you know. He may write a poem for you and I to read, but he gets it in his memory so well that he can repeat it without reading it. See? So you see, it's the memory that we must develop. mostly, in life. Anyway, if once develop memory, then we're naturally going to be able to go back and pick up memories of the past, looking up toward the present, because there is a continuous line. The chain has never been broken. For instance, now I'm going to tell you something. You listen carefully so you can explain it to the folks. A reporter asked me one time, and this is old story, you know, and science is quite comical. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? And I said, well, if a two-year-old child would do some own thinking, could answer you. He said, no, it's a riddle. I said, okay. The chicken and the egg both came the same time. They couldn't accept that. The reporters did, you know. The reporters in the newspaper are the dumbest. They couldn't accept that. So finally I said to them, I says, the chicken and the egg had come at the same time because the single cell, we know that, had the potential of both of them, or neither one could come. See? The single cell. That's why you can be a father of a little girl or a little boy, because the potential of either one is there. The predominant one will come forth.
Or both?
Or both, sometimes, yeah.
Very similar, I think, to the truth, I think.